Hello, my name is Ramon, and this is Ramon's Get to Talk for Tuesday, 9th of March, 2021. New week, plenty of things to talk about, especially some new devices already coming out, and it absolutely is amazing. First of all, we really got to talk about OnePlus because they are going to launch the OnePlus 9 series of phones, OnePlus 9, OnePlus 9 Pro, and hopefully a OnePlus 9e. Now, first thing is they showed off the OnePlus 9 Pro, and more specifically, the backside of it. Now the camera cutout, we've seen this already because it got leaked before. Good old Dave Leave Dave 2D leaked out the OnePlus 9 Pro's camera cutout, which is kind of interesting. It's a whole island with four different camera sensors, which is interesting. But more than everything, they probably showed it off to highlight their partnership with Hasselblad, the very famous Swedish camera brand that is known for making premium cameras, and whose cameras have actually been used on lunar missions, on lunar moon, on Apollo missions. If you've seen the iconic photo of the Apollo 11 moon landing, that actually was shot on a Hasselblad camera. I didn't know this until I seen Mr. Mobile's video about it, where he mentioned that Hasselblad worked with, gave its cameras to NASA, and then NASA gave it to the astronauts, and astronauts took some tons of important pictures. There are now history, essentially, in that regard. So OnePlus obviously has a really good partnership with Hasselblad. Obviously, we really don't know what Hasselblad's job here is. Are they going to offer better optics? Will you see tweaked software? Is it just a collaboration? Is it branding? We don't know. But what we do know now is the OnePlus 9 series will be launching on the 23rd of March at 10 a.m. Eastern time. That will roughly be 2 p.m. British time, so that'd be GMT. And 7:30 p.m. Indian time, which would roughly be 7 o'clock Pakistan time. So we're literally just half an hour away from India. So 7 o'clock on 23rd of March. Let's see what day of the week will 23rd of March be? And this shouldn't be in 2 weeks' time. So I think Tuesday's episode will probably talk about the OnePlus 9 series itself. Interestingly enough, this event's next 2 weeks pretty much. What to expect really? Again, we all know the OnePlus 9 will have the Snapdragon 888 and have hopefully a better camera than the previous OnePlus 8. It'll fix really one of OnePlus's biggest shortcomings, which is the camera, which is going to be interesting. Hopefully, I really want to see what the collaboration with Hasselblad's all about, what the hype is all about. Will it really improve the cameras on the OnePlus phones? We'll see. But apparently OnePlus is investing $150 million over the next 3 years to develop its photography systems, fix the cameras really, and they're gonna, and also isn't more interesting the fact this is gonna be the first sort of OnePlus phone that's gonna be launching without its main founder, Carl Pai, being at the helm. So it'll be interesting to see what we're gonna get with the OnePlus 9. Hopefully it is, it really isn't settling for subpar specs or subpar technology. Hopefully it is better than that. Oh, and in case you forgot, yes, OnePlus 9 series will definitely come with a charger. This was because Pete Lau responded to one of the OnePlus fans in the forum about chargers, really. It'll come with a warp charger. Hopefully it is one of the high voltage chargers. I think it would be lovely to have high voltage chargers, and I think, again, it makes spending $800 on such a phone like OnePlus 9 worthwhile, if you know what I'm talking about, that is. I mean, it's great to see that OnePlus obviously is including a charger in the box for the OnePlus 9 series, and that'll be phenomenal, to say the least. So, honestly, cannot wait. They're not going to settle for anything, really. They really are going to go for the moon here. They're going to go to the moon, pretty much, with the OnePlus 9 series. So, honestly, cannot wait. I mean, they're settling for nothing, that's for sure. Speaking of Carl Pai, obviously left OnePlus long back, and now he is obviously with his own hardware startup called Nothing. Nothing Essential, get it? Because they just bought the IP for Essential products. But now, good old Carl Pai has shown off the first Nothing product, which is called the Concept One. Now, we don't know much about this product, but it looks like this will possibly be true wireless earbuds. But these aren't any other typical true wireless earbuds. Now, they've given us one photo of the Concept One, and it looks nice. Don't get me wrong. If I just bring this down a bit, yeah. So, there's nothing wrong about the concept one, if you think about it. It looks nice. It has a transparent finish, and apparently, according to the good old folks and nothing, this actually is inspired by a grandmother's tobacco pipe. Now, I don't know, this will have a kind of seamless design. It'll look funny though. It also, more interesting than that, is it looks transparent. It's completely transparent on the outside. So maybe hitting a design goal of having barely noticeable technology, but you see technology through. Oh well, we don't really know much about what will be in this true wireless earbuds, how much it'll cost, when it'll come out. This is later down the road, but apparently they're stating that this will be coming this summer, hopefully. So honestly, cannot wait to see what's coming. Oh, and I'm just all the previously got clicked because there was a ringtone. So, moving on. Qualcomm is apparently working on a affordable flagship chip. Now, this is similar to the Snapdragon 888, but here's the one catch that you may miss from this chip. And this one is both a painful compromise, but also it makes sense. And no, I'll pull no surprises here. No built-in 5G chip. Yep. Qualcomm, according to Roland Quand, famous leaker, he's claiming that there's a new chip that Qualcomm is making right now that essentially is a no 5G variant of the Snapdragon 888. So, in the Snapdragon 888, the same ISP processors, image signal processor, same performance, high performance cores, power efficient cores, everything. We miss one thing, and that is an integrated 5G chip. Now, as I said, if they're gonna be having, if they're gonna be phones with a 888 chip and built-in 5G, that option is open. The door is open for that. Manufacturers can actually add a 5G modem on top of the 888 and still get 5G performance. But it's quite surprising that Qualcomm is actually looking to make a more affordable flagship chip. That means they'll have to cut out 5G out of the gate. Honestly, depending on where you live and depending on what options you have for 5G or where you live, really, this could be a good compromise for now. You can get high performance but get slower data speeds, and then in return you get a slightly faster phone. So it's an interesting compromise. Apparently, this could be called the Snapdragon 888 Lite, but then if it was the 888 Lite, then what's the role of the 700 series chips? The 700 series chips are supposed to do what 800 series phones are good at, high performance for everyday tasks and everything, and some good gaming, but you lose out on things like 5G and better camera performance and stuff. So it's quite interesting that this is gonna happen, kind of that Qualcomm's really looking at it, because really there are a lot of folks who want to have flagship phones or just good high performance phones, but don't want to pay an arm and a leg and a kidney for a high-end phone with high-end specs. But hey, with high-end phones you get all the bells and whistles that come with a high-end chip from the looks of it. So that's some this is a quite interesting development. But I kind of feel this is kind of unnecessary. Like, the 870 is doing what it's supposed to do on the tin, and also the 700 series chips are quite sufficient for a lot of Android users. Ask anyone who's bought a phone in the last year or two, pretty much, with a 720G or something like that, and they'll be definitely impressed with the performance out of the gate. So I don't know, it maybe look like a good idea for some markets like Latin America and Asia, in Asia and South America. In those regions, I can see the argument here, because either 5G is too expensive or there's no 5G reception, but you want a high speed phone, but you don't want to pay an arm and a leg and a kidney. So this makes a ton of sense. But honestly, outside of that, we'll see about it. This could make sense, probably. So yeah, I mean, th this is quite interesting rumor. Part of me thinks it may not happen, because the 700 series chips are quite sufficient for a lot of people, if you come to think of it. Apparently, a Harmony OS is ready to boot. It is ready to go on Huawei phones. And this is because a account on Weibo, apparently, that's now, again, thanks to GSM Arena, there's an account on Weibo, but it's now deleted. And they're claiming that Harmony OS, apparently, that the Huawei P50, essentially, has basically, the testing has been done of the Huawei P50 being run on Harmony OS Beta 2. And they're planning to go on to beta 3 testing, from the looks of it. And that means that possibly the Huawei P50 will be the first phone out there from Huawei. Huawei's first phone to run Huawei's own OS, Harmony OS, which will be very, very interesting to say the least. I mean, now it's ironic that since Huawei has announced they've been talking about using their own services and their own operating system because they cannot use Android. It's a bit of a difficulty here, but the transition's obviously taking a good time. Obviously, last year was exceptional, and I kind of kid, I mean, I can understand that they couldn't roll out Harmony OS fast enough last year because of what happened last year. I don't have to explain. The Rorona really interrupted the Harmony OS rollout in a big way. But now this year, hopefully, Harmony OS will sprout to tons of devices. It's already running on TVs and smartwatches and stuff. Hopefully, it'll reach a lot of Huawei phones out there. It's gonna take a good amount of time. Probably gonna take 2 years for Huawei to bring over their OS, but it seems like they're working their way up in that regard. So it's quite interesting development to say the least. So nothing special really, but hopefully there's some harmony between Huawei's devices and the sort of the orb of devices and services. I mean, quite promising here, promising stuff. Sony, apparently, according to a website, Android Next, big shout out to them because they've mentioned the story. There was a leaked phone, the Sony Xperia Compact, and OnLeaks leaked it a few months back. I was going to cover this, but I skipped it because it wasn't important enough. Apparently, this will only be available in Japan because hey, Sony phones still sell well in Japan, and obviously, in Japan, people don't buy Huawei's and Vivos and those sorts of phones, even though if they're nice, because in Japan, people buy, I think, what I've seen is. It's an iPhone market. It's an iPhone heavy market. It's a Samsung heavy market. It's a market where sort of the bigger brands, like in the US, like they sell a lot in the US too. They sell a lot in Japan. Oh well, that's not really a point to talk about. But this apparently could be a successor to the Xperia Ace smartphone, which has been, I mean, which came out years back. I mean, almost forgot that they made mid-range phones. But the Xperia Compact could now be called Xperia Ace 2, which is quite interesting. I mean, this is an update to a phone that came out 2 years ago, so that's kind of interesting. But more than everything, the Xperia Ace 2, or Xperia Compact as we like to call it, potentially, features a Snapdragon 690 chip, 5G support, 21 by 9 aspect ratio, not too shabby, 5.5-inch display. As always, like so, lots of Sony phones being thick and stuff, there's a fingerprint sensor on the power button, which is pretty dope, and a dedicated camera shutter. Also, this phone will feature two cameras on the rear, on the back, which is interesting. Now, we don't know much about this phone when it's going to come out or anything like that, but I really do hope that if they do sell the phone between 40 to 80,000 yen, which would probably be how much it cost in Japan for a phone of this caliber. So that'd be under sev four three under 400, between $400 and $800, which would probably be what an Xperia compact phone would be with such specs and 5G built in. If they do sell it for that much, I think it could sell really well in places like Japan. Under $600, this could sell like really well. This could sell. Again, this could sell hotcakes for around 48,000 yen. I don't really know the Japanese market that much, but it's an iPhone market and possibly a Samsung market. So, I mean, Sony needs to really punch well above its weight in its home market for such a phone. I mean, if people want to buy this really good Xperia phone, then it's got to be really solid option. This, fortunately, though, again, according to the support, will kind of be coming first to NTT Docomo, which is a big network in Japan, not SoftBank, which is interesting. So it is a quite compact phone, and I think it again it packs quite a punch for its price, hopefully. We don't know the price, but hopefully it does cost. It is a reasonable, very reasonable price for the Japanese market, where it probably launched first, from the looks of it. So The Verge exclusively reports that Sony is looking to release a new speaker, but this isn't another regular Sonos speaker. This is a wireless speaker, a Wi-Fi speaker, a Bluetooth Wi-Fi speaker, and it's called the Sonos Move. It has this durable, it's got this kind of rubber, durable, almost compact design. It actually can pack quite a punch, but it's still incredibly elegant, like most products from Sonos. It has essentially, it's got this the way to describe it, it's got this curved rectangular shape, and it has this all rubber finish, so it's tough and durable, and it's almost water resistant from the looks of it. And then on the top has this kind of curvature, so and it has playback controls, and you can essentially either pair the device or play a pause or skip. The Sonos Roam apparently measures 6.5 by 2.5 by 2.5 inches, weighs around 1 pound, and comes with a USB charging cable, and you can get a wireless charging dock for $50. That's interesting. And this is on top of the fact that obviously the Sonos Roam has been filed by the F Sonos has filed this product for the by the for the FCC to be certified for use in the US. So this is an incoming product. The Sonos Roam is a Wi-Fi and Bluetooth speaker. Now, I have to give this interesting distinction because you can use the speaker with your phone over Bluetooth, like most of speakers out there, and Wi-Fi to connect to a regular Sonos system of speakers and obviously connectors, and so you can actually send your music over the internet. And it's quite lovely, and it saves battery compared to using regular old school Bluetooth speakers, so it's really, really awesome. And this uses their latest and greatest S2 platform, which is a little faster and obviously can do hands-free voice assistance and all that good stuff. And you get some newer feature sets, and AirPlay 2 is supported, and you can do stereo mode with two Roams paired up over Wi-Fi, so that's wonderful. This batteries it would last about 10 hours on a single charge, which is interesting, and is, as I've mentioned, fully waterproof given the design here. So this is Sonos's proper portable speaker. Now, according to The Verge, the plan is that current plans call for the Roam to ship a month later on April 20th. So Sonos is looking to Sonos is looking to launch this product on to make the product available on April 20th, and they actually have an event today, later today, on March 9th. So you're already hearing a leak, possibly, of the Sonos. What is it called again? Move. Sonos. What is it again? Roam. This probably got leaked, possibly. So that's kind of interesting, to say the least. It is. There's no other information about this. I mean, they've exclusively report about this product, so this is quite interesting. There's no information about how much it costs or when it actually will come out, but they're claiming it could come out next month. Oh, I forgot. Take my words back right here. This speaker will cost $169, which is quite an interesting price, pretty premium for wireless speakers, so not too shabby to say the least. And someone did mention that this probably will come out in time for summer. So if you live in California and you're the stereotypical Sonos customer, this is a great add to your Sonos system. You can have a wireless Bluetooth speaker that, or a Wi-Fi speaker that is in your garden. You can listen to some bangers, you know. So, I mean, this already got leaked, but this is an interesting speaker to say the least. Have you ever wondered what you could do by combining the design of the Nintendo Switch, which is really awesome, by the way, I'm a big fan, combine the design of the Switch and PC Master Race into a single thing? That's right, there's actually a thing that's currently raising funds on Indiegogo called the Aya Neo. Sorry for the pronunciation, it's how I say it. Aya Neo, Ayaneo. And it's this interesting device that apparently happens to be the first portable PC gaming device that, however you call it, that have features 7-nanometer Ryzen chip. So again, it's currently raising funds on Indiegogo. If you want to, you run out and get it. It's really awesome. It's already raised straight out of the gate. It's already raised 11.4 million Hong Kong dollars. So if we do the currency conversion, okay, that was out of touch. Let's see, how much is that in USD? $1 million. So this has raised $1 million, or over $1 million on Indiegogo. So people want something like this, and you can get a six a rough around $600, $600 to $800 possibly. Yeah, this says over there $969. This is the featured perk. There's only 128 of them remaining. This is the one with a 1 TB SSD. So if you really want it, you can go get it. As always, your mileage may vary with crowdfunding campaigns. You may get your item, you may not get it. So please use your best judgment. But this product is really, really cool. It features a Ryzen 5 4500U processor, 6 cores, 4 GHz performance, and features built-in Radeon graphics, so you can run some good games at 30 frames per second without a problem. So that's kind of interesting. You get 16 GB of LPDDR4X RAM and up to 1 TB of NVMe SSD storage, which is not too shabby. Now, it has joystick controls and all that stuff, but it's not like Joy-Cons where you could pop it off. It is soldered in, which is interesting, so you can actually play it portably or docked in, which is, again, that choice is yours. You can play it docked into a big screen TV, or obviously using all that. You get a 47-watt-hour battery, so overall, you would get 140 minutes of demanding AAA gaming according to this, and you can run this for 5 to 6 hours at lower TDP settings, and obviously the battery saver mode on Windows 10. So it is top-notch. There's a 7-inch multi-touch display, 800p resolution, 76% NTSC color spectrum, which is interesting. 6-axis gyroscope and accelerometer. Again, quite promising specs being a PC copy of the Nintendo Switch. And you also, and I don't know if this one's included, but there's a dock for this wonderful portable, so it has outputs for USB, HDMI, and much, much more. So this is an impressive piece of specs from the looks of it. And you also get a 65 watt power delivery, USB power delivery adapter in the box, so that's interesting. So, okay, I don't know if the docking station's included. Oh, that's strange. I mean, now, interestingly, this actually is based on a Founders Edition that came out before, and apparently, this is a broader release for the general public. It has an improved operating system, reduced weight, an option to toggle rumble, better buttons, better power consumption and power performance presets, improvements to issues that cause resolution scaling problems. That's interesting. And yes, the there there's a dock for with this th that there's a dock for this portable PC, and you can pay f around $47 to get it. That's kind of interesting. You don't get it out of the box, but that's interesting. This is actually similar specs to the Founders Edition of this PC that came out a few months back. You get 3 USB-C ports. There's one below and then two up on the upper side, so that's interesting. So this portable PC will start from $789 for a 500 gig model, which I think apparently sold out from the looks of it, and then a $869 variant that has a 1 TB SSD built in. And this portable PC will ship in May, so this is interesting. And this is a little company from China that is creating this really cool device, it's what looks interesting, really. I mean, it's a wonderful device from the looks of it. I mean, it's a Switch and a PC at the same time. It's just nuts, to say the least. Oh, you can get a dock for $47. You can get grips for it. You can get some accessories. So, and obviously, if you do want to get it, you can get it for like more than $700. So, and there's one for like 900. So the prices may vary depending on what perks are still available. You get free worldwide shipping according to the Lisp campaign, and they'll ship it within 15 to 30 days, given if they could ship all the models. and comes in beautiful black and white colors, which is interesting. So quite a fascinating product. I mean, it looks amazing, and I mean, again, this is currently getting fundraised. So again, your mileage may vary with fundraising campaigns. Do go do ha I mean, your mileage may vary here in this regard. You take a bit of a grain of salt when looking at these campaigns and use your common sense here, and your money may go in this. So yeah, so it looks amazing. The Aya Neo looks amazing. So I mean, there's no information about benchmarks, it's not written here. Though it does claim you could just be able to play some AAA games at 30 frames per second, which makes sense given the portable form factor and the cooling and obviously the processor in question. So quite an interesting product that's getting fundraised on Indiegogo. Do check it out if you're interested. I'll link it in the show notes if you're interested, to say the least. So pretty interesting times. PCMR all the way. And finally, famous Apple analyst and the very man who does research for TF International Securities, Ming-Chi Kuo, has spoken out about the Apple Era glasses. They released a research report yesterday, or day before yesterday, and he talked about the Apple AR and VR glasses that are planning to come. More like AR, mixed reality or AR glasses that are planning to come. Now, he claims that Apple would be maybe looking to release its mixed reality headset in 2022. And I'll kind of quote, and I'll read his statement here. A big shout out to Mac Rumors here, they wrote this down. "We predict that Apple's MR AR product roadmap includes three phases: helmet type by 2022, so that's sort of the headset, glasses type by 2025, and contact lens type by 2030 or 2040. Ah, last one sounds straight out of sci-fi. I'm just saying, straight up Blade Runner's vibes here, right there. So, and then he goes on to mention that we foresee that the helmet product will provide AR and VR experiences, while glasses and contact lens types of products are more likely to focus on AR applications. And going on as far as to state that currently the prototype for Apple's mixed reality headset currently weighs about 200-300 grams. And Apple's looking to bring it down dramatically, so it should be weighing about 100 to 200 grams, which makes tons of sense because having such a heavy headset on your hand, or even half a kilogram heavy headset, that causes big head strain. So they got to make it quite compact. And currently, a lot of VR headsets are obviously very heavy, so that makes tons of sense right over here. Now, because of how complex this AR, this mixed reality headset is, Ming-Chi Kuo expects that this headset could cost about $1,000 in the US when it launches, which is interesting to say the least. And more than that, this headset will have Sony's micro OLED displays, which is kind of interesting to say the least. And this is on top of information we'll be hearing about these headsets, the fact that it may come with over a dozen cameras to track hand movements, two ultra high resolution 8K displays, which makes tons of sense. Cut out glass door effect and all that, could cut out glare and distortion with AR and VR use cases. And apparently the cameras up should be high resolution enough that they give you a re they show a real world view, and you're able to see the real world around you instead of just being in AR all the time, in VR all the time. So that's interesting. But more than that, he went on to talk about the AR glasses and potentially the contact lenses, and apparently it will give you an optical see-through AR experience, and it's positioned to be more of a mobile product. While the helmet provides a great immersive experience, the glasses focus on more on providing a mobile plus AR experience. Apparently, Co is looking forward to the Apple glasses integrating with the long-run Apple Car, which is likely several years away. So this is kind of interesting, to say the least. And obviously, the contact lenses, which sound still kind of straight out of sci-fi, apparently this could introduce a kind of realm of invisible computing, which means you don't re there's computing happening, but you don't see it. So that's kind of interesting. So, but more than that, there was another research report then that Ming-Chi Kuo did release afterwards, and then he went on mentioning that the MR headset, I will refer to now, the Apple MR headset, will apparently have 15 camera modules. 8 will be used for see-through augmented AR experiences, so the camera will come and you can see AR and stuff. And 6 will be used for innovative biometrics, so your hand scanning and your, you know, object tracking and stuff. And then 1 camera module for environmental detection. So, you know, you don't want to bump into objects or you see that there's like a brick near you. It's kind of interesting. That's what's mentioned here. So 15 cameras on the MR headset. So that's nuts. And that for $1,000, this looks straight out of the future. I don't know. I mean, Apple would probably, I mean, I don't know how Apple will be able to deliver on such a product. I'm setting very high expectations right here. The AR glasses and the mixed reality headset make a ton of sense. That could come in the next couple of years. This is an Apple gadget. That this is an Apple product that will come out in the next 10 years, hopefully. The next, I mean, this could come next year, pretty much. But I think one thing's obvious is that Apple is really working towards AR because they've been adding it into iOS and iPadOS. So, I mean, in terms of the MR headset and AR glasses, it could be sooner than later for these glasses. I mean, but 15 cameras for the MR headset, that's nuts. This could be well over $1,000, hands down. So, quite fascinating times ahead with this, with AR and MR. Apple did say that AR really is another frontier of computing, and I think it would really unlock new it could unlock new use cases. Who knows? I mean, I would say that we tend to say that this could be a way to unlock ambient computing. It will be a killer combo. AR, voice, AI, IoT, I don't know. I don't know what role that plays. I don't know, cloud, IT, AR. It could be a killer combo for ambient computing. Cloud really has the horsepower over the internet. AI has the predictability and the know-how. It knows you. It knows your user habits. And then AR brings the experiences in front of you. You don't have a physical screen to look at. And voice lets you do hands-free control. It could be a killer combo right there. I think Apple is almost there with the technology. I feel that they could bring out this technology. They could roll it out. And it could be a whole standalone experience. But there could be a connection to back to the overall Apple ecosystem. Obviously, Apple services would tick on these devices really well. There could be a link with the iPhone. You could still do phone calls, but this is through an iPhone. You could do, you know, Apple Fitness Plus workouts, and the workout is on your actual AR display, and you can watch movies off it. And I could see the product fit for this. This is logical, and I think Apple has the chops at its back end and everything to do it, and they could do it. And the $1,000 price doesn't seem far-fetched. I mean, I'll happily pay $1,000 for an MR headset. Hopefully it is really good quality and is not wonky or poor quality or is of or the display is left to be desired for. Hopefully it is high quality and high resolution and really is quite immersive and quite seamless, and it hopefully should just work, because this is what I expect with Apple. You know, like, if they make any devices, it just works. I'm really excited. I mean, this makes tons of sense. I mean, it could make us more productive. It could make us more glued to our screens in a figurative manner, but we won't be able to notice it. We'd all be honking robots with big light headsets. But I think AR glasses have more potential. I don't know. I mean, the jury's still out on this technology, that's for sure. But it is quite interesting times. They're thinking the impossible in that regard. They're thinking differently. Oh well. So, interesting times. I mean, but I definitely would get a MR headset if you think about it. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm @Zayd_Mao99. Follow me there if you can. Share the show with your friends and family. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe first. Second, review the show. Give us a 5-star rating if you can. I mean, I'm not expecting that, but okay. That'd be lovely if you leave some feedback. That'll help with the show. You know, just subscribe. Tell your friends to listen to this podcast. Share it with your friends and family. There are share links down below. And send it to your friends on WhatsApp and stuff if you can. Till Thursday, this is your boy Mao signing out. Have a lovely day. Take care. Stay safe. And I'll see you on Thursday with another episode of Mao's Got to Talk. You know what to do. You know the drill. You know, support this podcast, because it takes a lot of It takes a lot of time to make this and is quite a labor of love for me. And I love podcasts, so you know, we'd absolutely appreciate all the support from you guys. So yeah, thanks for listening, and yeah, I'll see you later. Peace. Ciao. Thanks for listening.